What is up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to episode 227 of the Massive Breakdown Podcast. We have a fantastic episode for you tonight. We are going to be talking about a number of things. We're going to be talking about our first impressions of Season of the Lost, how it has gone so far in both PvE and PvP. We're going to talk about how we feel about the sandbox. Not going to give any hard numbers just yet. We kind of want to give it another week to shake out. Personally, I'd really love to see what the first week of trials looks like. I think that's going to be a big one for us. So we might kick that can down the road a little bit, but we are going to talk about how we feel. Both Kutch and I have played a lot of Destiny over the last couple of weeks, even though I was out of town 4 days for a wedding, still over 100 games in PvP, which I'm pretty stoked about. And then we're also going to talk about, you know, we're not going to break down any weapons, but we're going to talk about the new weapons. We're going to tell you which ones were targeting, which ones we're farming right off the bat, which ones we're going for. So we do have a great episode for you tonight, but first let's get the introductions out of the way. As always, I'm your host Mercules, joined tonight by Kit Kutcha. And how are you doing this evening, Kit?
Well, Mercules, I have to say I have been riding high on the Destiny hype train the past week. I have been playing a whole bunch. I was actually getting pretty into the PvE side of things, and then, you know, I started playing around in some PvP, and then I was like, oh, it's Iron Banner time. Well, I have now not played any PvE at all this week, but very much enjoying every aspect of Destiny, and I'm looking forward to diving back into the story after Iron Banner is over.
Yeah. Correct me if you don't feel the same way I do, but I feel like Destiny's trajectory is pointed in a really good direction right now. I thought last season was pretty darn good, with the exception of some PvP stuff. I think this season, PvP is feeling good right now. The Trials changes are right around the corner. We've talked about those. The PvE side of things, the story has never been better. The in-game lore has never been better. Player engagement in the story has never been better. And the stuff they're showing us for the Witch Queen, narratively, seems like it's knocking it out of the park. I mean, even just the little interviews that like Joe Blackburn and Justin Truman are doing with Polygon and stuff and IGN, like I'm listening to this stuff and I'm starting to think, like, you know, maybe I'm too hard on the hype train here, but I'm starting to think like they might have this. Like they might have finally coalesced what they want Destiny to be. And they're like firing on all cylinders in that direction.
Yeah, I would absolutely agree. Firing on all cylinders is probably the right way to put it right now. I mean, we're in full Bungie reveal mode at the moment, right? They've just given us a ton of mouthwatering stuff to look forward to. And we've got all these great interviews. We were fortunate enough to get one of those interviews immediately before the reveal. That was super informative. And I believe we got a nod in Game Informer. There was a mention that we were interviewed, which is pretty cool.
Oh, really? I didn't know. I didn't even see that.
Yeah, I feel like we are actually completely a mainstream media source now, because we've been referenced in a mainstream media source.
Oldest continuously running Destiny podcast that has not changed names.
There we go. I'll take it. But yeah, I mean, the interviews that they've been putting out have been fantastic, informative, given us enough to look forward to without necessarily giving us the details that obviously they are still working on. But with stuff like, you know, the whole light and dark saga coming to an end in the next few years, with weapon crafting coming out, hopefully, you know, that's one of their silver bullets for the whole vault space issue that so many people are afflicted with. I honestly don't know how you people can let your vaults get so out of hand. I trim mine with a hatchet. But it's just been one cool, exciting thing after another. But all of that is look forward to. And really, I'm trying to keep myself grounded and focused on what the game is right now, because there's a lot of good stuff to enjoy right now.
Honestly, there is. I mean, I don't know if it's because the sandbox is in a good place, which I personally believe the sandbox is in a good place. There are a few outliers, of course. We'll talk about those, but I really enjoy the sandbox right now for PvP. The sandbox for PvP matters less to me, but I'm still having fun there. The weapon chase right now over the last two seasons has just been absolutely phenomenal. The stuff that we've been given, the new perks that are coming out, the new weapons, absolutely top notch. Really enjoying all that. The subclass balance now is way better than it has been. And that all is great because that's what keeps me playing. But for the first time over the last two seasons, maybe the last three seasons, I think Presage started it. But I have been excited to log back in weekly to see what the next step in the story is, to read the next lore unlock. In this case, in this season, to hear what Mara and Savathun have to say. Right, like I went to go talk to Mara today to do the weekly quest, and she gave me an exotic quest. And I actually like listened to the entire story she told and was like interested in it. And it has been a long time coming that Destiny's fantastic lore and great storytelling has actually been included in the game in a meaningful way, to where every player who just logs in on a week-to-week basis can interact with it. And I feel like we're finally there. And we've talked before about PvP has languished over the last 2 years, basically. But what has come out of that has been PvE and narrative like blossoming and blooming. And now hopefully based on what Joe's saying, now it's PvP's turn to shine. They think the trials revamp is going to be a huge step forward. They've been scaling up the sandbox team so they can build more weapons and they can do changes. I mean, look how fast they knocked out these changes to the Lagrange or the Lawrence driver.
Yeah.
Right. Like that little wall hacks thing was bugging people. We're what, a week later, and they took the wall hacks thing away in PvP. Like it cannot be overstated how important it is for people to see that type of quick reaction where they're like, hey, this isn't fun. And then Bungie jumps on, and they can't do that for every single thing across the board. But two years ago, 0% chance that would have happened. It would have been 3 months down the road before we got that.
Yeah. No, they are definitely flexing right now in terms of getting that good content out there, making changes in a quick manner. They're not always going to agree necessarily with what the community is asking for. They're not going to make every change we ask for. It is good to see that responsiveness, right? I think anyone who has ever complained that Bungie doesn't listen maybe needs to rethink that stance, because they're showing that they do. And the game is in such a great place with so much to look forward to.
Seems pretty clear that they are listening. All right. Well, before we get too deep into that, before we talk in too much detail, we should probably go ahead and get the housekeeping out of the way. So do we have any patron news for this week?
So we do. We do have a brand new thank you. And this shout out goes out to Angry Wino One. So Angry Wino, it is great. Thank you so much for your pledge and support. We deeply appreciate it. It's very generous of you. So thank you so much. We hope to see you in Discord. Hope to see you online. Crossplay is live and it is hopping. People have been forming up fire teams left and right in Discord, and I am loving it. Jump in and say hi if that's your thing. And if not, feel free to say hi anyway in a more, whatever way suits you.
I think we're going to have to redo the way the LFG works in the Discord now, because it was previously the tags were all based on platform.
Yeah.
And now really you don't have to do it anymore. Although there still is something to be said for console only PvP, because I played with my buddy who's on PC, and I got put in the PC pool, and there wasn't cheating, right? We were just playing control, but there are some shenanigans where players with mice and keyboards are doing things that I was like, I have never once seen that on Xbox, and I hope to never see that again. Like it's surprisingly, I actually perform better on the whole. I think there are some people who are very, very bad on PC, but like the upper echelon of players on PC is extraordinarily, extraordinarily good.
Yeah. I got a little taste of that myself. Literally I had to like I was trying to change up my loadout because I had been playing a more passive playstyle and I could not sprint around the map fast enough. Running bottom tree Arc Strider, by the way, which gives me a faster sprint speed, just for the record, could not keep up in order to actually get kills. So I was not prepared for the pace of play that was going on in that PC pool. It is a much faster game.
Have you noticed as a PlayStation player, now that you have Xbox players playing with you,
yeah,
have you noticed on the whole that Xbox players are sweatier than PlayStation players? Because I've noticed two things. I've noticed one, PlayStation players play in fire teams far more than Xbox players do. Like, far, far more. I would go game after game after game after game on Xbox and rarely see anything above a two-man. Now that PlayStation players are in the pool, it seems like every PlayStation player at three is like three man or higher, which I thought was interesting. Obviously, just anecdotal. But I hate to say this because it's a horrible thing and it is not entirely fair. But since crossplay has happened, my KD has gone like way up. Like, my experience on Xbox is, and it might just be there's more people playing. I don't know. I heard a bunch of people on Twitter being like, oh, it's so sweaty. Skill-based matchmaking is back. I was like, I don't know what the fuck skill-based matchmaking this is, but it's my favorite ever. Because for a period of time at the beginning of the season, I was well over like a 3.0 KAD. And that was without me actually like sweating and trying. That was with me like trying different loadouts and control and still dominating.
Yeah. There is something going on with the larger pools. I don't ever look like to see what platform anyone's on, so I don't know. I will say my matchmaking has been weirdly slow.
I've noticed that too.
But when I do get into a match, at least for the moment, it seems like the pool is much more varied. There are more players who are ridiculously good, and there are also a lot more players that I am considerably better than. I was sweating briefly, just trying to go with some super strong loadouts and see how things felt. I think the preview screen briefly said that my KD was over 2.5, and I was like, that's much higher than usual. I mean, I almost never play with the same loadout for more than like three games, so I don't necessarily grind, but when I sweat, I guess it makes a difference.
Yeah, it's been definitely interesting. I'm happy to have it. It's nice to be able to play with you finally without you having to buy an Xbox or me buy a PlayStation.
Indeed.
And it's nice to be able to play with some of the other people in the Discord who previously we were isolated from. My friends list has grown pretty much exponentially since this happened. So crossplay is definitely a thing, but I feel like we were talking about patrons at some point.
We were, and we've got some very important thank yous to throw out. So we've already said a thank you to our new patron. I want to extend, as always, a thank you to all of our ongoing patrons for their continued generosity and support, but especially to our sponsors. These guardians go above and beyond, as we talk about every week, to support the podcast. And they show their generosity in a truly massive way. So thank you, as ever, in no particular order, to A Solitary Bird, The Shazzle, ZenzoCal, ConquerKing420, Deacon, and Askey and Monk. Thank you so much to all of you, our sponsors, our patrons, our listeners, and also to another special group, our reviewers.
Yeah, and speaking of reviewers, we have a lot of those this week. We actually have four new reviews coming in. First review is from Nobody318. He says, the best Destiny podcast for PvP, 5 stars. Merc and Kit do an amazing job each week of testing, breaking down the ever-changing world of Destiny PvP. Everything from weapons, mods, builds, different playstyle strategies to make you a better PvP player. These two have a ton of knowledge and are very responsive and interactive with the Massive Breakdowns community, both in-game and on social media. They always take the time to answer my questions, and I truly appreciate the time and effort they put into the pod week after week. Hopefully with the launch of crossplay, I can finally run some games with them. Thanks again, guys. Well, Nobody, you are welcome, absolutely welcome, to send us on an invite, and we will be happy to play. I can't guarantee I will always have a mic on because I play a lot of the time at night with my fiance asleep, and so I don't have a mic in. But My fire team is almost always open to friends. Anybody can hop on. I spend hours and hours and hours each week just playing controller on banners. You guys are welcome to join me if you'd like.
Yeah, likewise, want to extend that invitation. I know I've dropped my new Bungie name into the Patrons Lounge. So feel free to hit me up.
Is that a bribe? Is that a bribe? The only way to get it, you have to buy our friendship?
No,
you can. You guys can obviously just ask us for it, but we're not going to post it publicly because I have made enemies out there.
I'm kind of a private person, so I'm always happy to play with anybody who wants to shoot me an invite. But yeah, I don't necessarily always open up my friends list in the same way that I open up my fire team. Right. And it's nothing personal, but I just like to play with somebody before I add them.
Like to meet someone first.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Buy me a drink
before you bet them. Yeah. It's the same thing. So, all right. Next up is, from Miss Damned. She says, this show is a must listen for Destiny players. 5 stars. Ever since I began listening to Massive Breakdown podcast, I have learned more than ever about the different weapon perks and new ways to use them. The information that is presented is easy to digest and makes for a great listen. And don't get me going on Beneath Twin Suns. Just know that as a long time Star Wars fan, just listen to these episodes is great. Keep up the awesome work. Well, thank you very much, Miss Damned. And if you love Star Wars Beneath Twin Suns, we have a special Beneath Twin Suns episode we're recording after this one. We're going to be talking about Clone Wars Legacy, which is all of the unproduced Clone Wars content, which they have basically released in the years following it, which was it was supposed to be the rest of season 6 and then season 7 and part of season 8. So there's a bunch of arcs, and we've read a couple books, we've read some comics, we've watched some forums from Star Wars Celebration. We watched some weird unfinished episodes that we had to download off some guy's mega upload. Like we're going to be digging deep into it. I'm really excited about that.
So. Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be a fun one for sure. Always love to get some more love for Beneath Twin Suns, which has just been a blast to create. So thank you to everyone thank you to the patrons who made that happen, who made bonus episodes, which were kind of a half, like half joking stretch goal that we've just threw out there, like thinking that we didn't even really have the time to do them. And then the patrons like, yeah, we're going to crush that goal. And then we're like, all right, well, we're just going to, you know, put a second one up there because there's no way. And here we are doing 2 episodes a month. So,
and we don't actually have time for 2 episodes a month, which is why I will be up until 3 a.m. this morning editing this stuff.
Speaking of, we should keep the podcast rolling here so we can get Merc to bed.
This is going to definitely be one of the episodes where we're 20 minutes in before we've gotten through the housekeeping. We've kept it under 10 minutes for a bunch of episodes in a row. Not this one. Anyways, next one. This was from Jay Kelly. It says, best Destiny 2 podcast. Heard about the podcast on Firing Range, and I appreciate the candor and knowledge about builds, perks, weapons, and spreadsheets. Short, sweet, to the point. I'm glad that a Firing Range listener has made their way over here. I feel like Firing Range has been fantastic for visibility on this podcast. I know a lot of people have heard of us over there and come to join us. And welcome. Welcome. If this is your first episode or your 40th episode, we appreciate you guys stopping by.
Yeah, absolutely. Very much appreciate it. Firing Range is a great show as well. And they do things just a little bit differently. So I think there's a lot that you can learn from both. So really happy to have you all here.
A lot more of a round table over on Firing Range, and it's a lot, I hesitate to say more high level because it's still in depth, but we don't drill down into topics as far over there as we do over here, just because, you know, we try to do the listener questions at the end of every episode over there, which I haven't even checked the listener question document recently.
We'll be due for a listener questions episode in the next few weeks for sure.
Yeah. Anyways, the last podcast review, last but certainly not least, is from M-Link. It says, always on point, 5 stars. These guys kill it week in and week out. Their discussion of all things perks, loadouts, weapons is always intelligent, useful, and insightful. They've made me look at all my guns and armor in much different ways. And then to top it off with incredible Star Wars recaps and discussions with Twin Suns. Too good. Keep up the great work, guys. Thank you very much, M-Link. We really appreciate it. We 100% plan to keep up the great work.
Absolutely. Love it.
Woo. Housekeeping. Done.
Less than 20 Finish. Minutes. You guys are spoiled. So, man, we haven't had that many reviews to read out in a hot minute. So thank you so much to everyone who left us a review. As a reminder, if you'd like to hear your review read out on the air, all you have to do is just go and leave it on Apple Podcasts. Or if you have a different platform of choice, just take a screenshot or copy and paste and send us a message on Discord or Twitter or Patreon or Reddit. And we will read it out, especially if you are listening from someplace other than the United States. We have a great many listeners from all around the world. And if you are leaving a review on your local Apple Podcasts, we will probably not see it for a few weeks, if ever. So do let us know, because we would love to read it out. But we just have a much harder time aggregating reviews outside of the United States. It's just how it is.
You just pushed us. You pushed us over 20 minutes with that last little addition that you made right at the end.
I'm sorry.
Anyways. All right. So what we want to talk about first is just our beginning of every season. We always try to do it a week or 2 weeks in. Just talk about the season, how it's going, how it's playing, how it's feeling. You know, sometimes we do the good, the bad, and the ugly. I honestly feel like this season would be pretty hard to do a full season of, or a full episode's worth of that, because really, I mean, I guess we could start with this. Is there anything you're like upset about or unhappy about right now that's like really grinding your gears with Destiny? Because I'm like having to dig deep into the list of complaints to find stuff that hasn't been addressed with them at least saying like, hey, we're working on it.
I think most of my complaints would be incredibly petty at the moment. At least that's how they would feel to me. And so I don't even want to air them, because they'd be little tiny things that are not really important. And honestly, that I don't think about 95% of the time. So I'd say, I mean, by and large, I'm just having a great time playing Destiny right now. The only thing that I will mention, and I know that they know, but Vex Mythoclast feels a little overtuned for PvP. I don't want to take away it feeling great in PvE. It's one of those rewards that I think should have its time to shine out in the wild. But in the Crucible, it feels like a little bit much right now. There are certainly a lot of people who have it, you can outplay if you happen to be a better PvP player. That said, if you're even a passable PvP player and you have Vex Mythoclast, that means that the half of the bell curve that's below you is going to get just destroyed.
Yeah.
And you've got a much better shot against the half that's above you. I mean, it's just a very solid weapon in a great many situations. A little too solid. And in the hands of someone who actually is very good, I just avoid them because I don't want to play against them. I hear it shooting and I just go the other way because I'm just not interested in that gunfight.
Yeah, it definitely makes it very hard to win a gunfight if someone who is a capable player has it in their hands. It's a very easy to use gun right now. I think the rate of fire buff was probably maybe the straw that broke the camel's back. But there's also some stuff I feel like Bungie is like from Mean Girls trying to make Fetch happen, but Fetch is linear fusion rifles. Like, I really feel like they're trying to make linear fusion rifles happen.
It's the linear fusion actually that frustrates me more than anything.
Yeah.
The being a super strong, high impact auto rifle, that is easier to work around. I can outrange it, or I can get in really close. There are options. I can open with a grenade and just outplay them. You know, I have choices. But one of my matches today, I got just demolished by some guy who was picking me off with a linear fusion rifle. Bonus, shoot me out of midair. I pop around a corner, voop. You know, I slide, voop. I'm doing everything I can and just voop. And I could not avoid him either. I couldn't get away from the guy. So, that's what I'm talking about. You run up against somebody who just happens to be phenomenal with it, and they're going to ruin your day. So
basically a primary that feeds you heavy ammo
in
terms of how the linear fusion works. But the biggest problem that I have with the linear fusions is they suffer from the same problem that a lot of guns, specifically precision guns, a lot of precision guns in Destiny. Hand cannons, snipers, slug shotguns, linear fusion rifles, they all have extraordinarily generous aim assist cones. You can be pretty far off target and still get crits, and linear fusions are perhaps the worst offenders. And it didn't really matter a ton when the only linear fusions that we had were in the heavy slot.
Yep.
But now we've got Arbalest, which already has gotten one aim assist nerf and still has crazy aim assist. We have Vex Mythoclast, and we have Lauren's Driver. And all three of them are problems in their own various ways, but Lauren's Driver is just a straight up better Arbalest. Like, it's just 100% better than Arbalest. So, like, why would you use Arbalest if you could use Lauren's Driver when Lauren's Driver does so much more? And similarly, why would you use, your special on that when you could just use a primary that gives you ammo for it and then have another special in your back pocket, right? So it's like they really, 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 really wanted to make linear fusion rifles happen, and now they have. And it turns out the ridiculous way that they deal with flinch and the ridiculous amounts of aim assist they have actually makes them really freaking annoying to play against.
And I just want to make a quick point here, because I've seen some people say, well, the aim assist stats actually aren't that high. And I just want to remind you about Fruit Space. The stats are relative to that particular type of weapon, right? And so you can't say, well, this linear fusion rifle has low aim assist. How come you're saying that it has more aim assist than this sniper rifle that has a high aim assist stat? Well, because the stats are relative to that weapon type. And you can't compare them across weapon types because they don't translate directly. It's still the same. It's still doing the same thing, but the stat is on a scale that is operating in the background. And so it's just not really a valid comparison. It's apples and watermelons, right? It's Fruit Space. So, the thing to know basically is, you know, does it bend the bullet toward the person's head when you're not aiming at their head? And if the answer is yes, then it has a lot of aim assist.
Yeah. And the low zoom also helps because
it does
keeps those aim assist cones wide and everything like that. Now, do I think that, I think Vex Mythoclast is definitely the bigger problem right now. And I think the only reason it's not a huge problem is because not a ton of people have it.
Yeah.
I think ownership is still relatively low. Lorenz Driver, I think, is significantly less of a problem. Now that they've removed the tracker, I think that was pretty, you know, that was probably a bit much. And I'm glad that they got that out before trials came in, because it was really going to generate some salt over trials. I really, really like Lauren's Driver. I love the sound effects. I love the effect. I love the exotic perk. I love the fantasy behind it. I freaking love that gun. I think if the only thing it had was different interactions with flinch and less aim assist, it would be one of the best weapons they've ever designed. The whole, like, little droid chirps. I don't know if this is something that's particular to the Destiny community, but we seem to like love sentient weapons, or like weapons that have an actual personality. And Lorenz Driver is perhaps the best example of that they've ever made. I freaking love it. I really enjoyed playing with it. And honestly, I think people have like gotten the catalyst and like gotten it out of their system, and the numbers have been falling
yeah.
in PvP. I maybe see one every couple games. It's not like the first week where there was like five per game. I'm not really seeing it a ton anymore. I think, again, little things, aim assist and flinch is hard, so really just aim assist, but like if you just took special and prime, if you just took Vex Mythoclast, Arbalest, and Lorenz Driver and just reduced their aim assist, like that was the only thing you did, I think they'd be pretty darn good and a pretty darn good spot.
Yeah. I would say maybe this is just me, but when someone is using Arbalest, I know it, right? I can hear it. I recognize the sound. It's very distinctive. When someone is using Lauren's Driver, I know it after I'm dead. And that for me is honestly the biggest annoyance. I didn't really care about the wall hacks. Did it probably get me once or twice? Yeah. But once I know somebody's using that, then I make a point to move a little more unpredictably. You know, I make sure that I'm varying how I'm moving across corridors, whether I'm, you know, bunny hopping, sliding, some combination of the two, whatever. The point is, Once you know it's out there, you can make it a little bit harder, make them work for it a little bit more. And you can also avoid those sight lines that you know that they're using and go around it. You know, we always say someday we'll do another Get Good show, but
yeah. You know, you brought up a good point, though, something when you talk about sliding. Sliding took what sounded on paper like a pretty big nerf.
It did.
Coming into the season. You get increased flinch. You get worse stability. Shotguns get their own special thing. In my opinion, it did what I was worried it would do. And it's not, again, like I said, when we talked about this, like, is this going to ruin the game for me? No, it's absolutely not. Like, it really isn't. Do I like it? No, I don't. Reason being, it did exactly what I thought it was going to do, which is it didn't change behavior at all. Everybody still slides. Every single player in the game still slides. I still slide constantly. In fact, I slide more now, just to spite it, right? But what it has done is that randomly when I slide, my gun just feels like absolute shit. Like, randomly when I'm sliding, I get shot or I try to fire. And like, honestly, what really sucks the most is like rapid fire fusions are the ones I feel it by far the most on, right? Like my high impact fusions, they charge so slow that most of the time my slide is done. I don't get the penalty from it. I'm not really sliding into engagements a ton with Messenger. And if I am, it's like just that first burst. So it's not necessarily the worst thing ever. But my rapid fire fusions are where I've noticed it the most. I slide into an engagement charging that rapid fire fusion, which charges so fast, and I get shot. And the combination of getting shot, firing 9 bolts and already having bad stability and the decrease in stability, whew, that thing's just way over their head. Like, I might as well not even try. And it sucks because it's like rapid fires finally feel like they're closing in on being a pretty freaking, you know, nifty little tool. And the slide nerf just makes them shittier, and kickstart is now shittier too. So it's like the slide nerf didn't change my behavior at all, but randomly when I'm doing something that is muscle memoried into me from 7 years of playing Destiny, my gun just feels like complete shit. And it's not happening enough to where it's worth me really specking hard into it. And I couldn't even spec into it even if I wanted, because of the way mod costs are working and stuff now. Like, I couldn't even spec into it even if I wanted to. So it's like, what you're telling me is that the playstyle's changed zero, but roll the dice, one out of every 5 times, my gun just feels like fucking garbage. And I get flinched way off a target that I was aimed right at. I don't really like it. Is it ruining my games? No, because it doesn't happen that often. But it happens enough to where every single time it happens to me, I'm like, man, I freaking hate that.
Yeah, you know, I have to say, I've been a little bit wary of it, but my loadouts in general have been such that they have largely been unaffected. And I tend to use, I've not been doing a lot of shotgunning since the nerf, because there are so many other weapons that are viable in that space now that I'm really trying to explore my other options and play with some other weapons that I enjoy or that I thought I would enjoy, but couldn't enjoy because shotguns. And so I guess, I don't know. It hasn't really so far had any major effect on me. There have been one or two situations with a submachine gun where I've just gotten flinched way, way off target while sliding. And I thought, oh, that's the nerf. But it's just been a couple of times. It has not been a major impact. And I don't know. I don't know what it's achieving. I think the shotgun nerfs in and of themselves already pushed people to explore other options. There are still a ton of people playing shotguns, but they're much less effective than they used to be. The counterplay in that short range space is so much greater now, that I think players will start to explore other options in greater numbers over time. So
sidearms, there's some good sidearms. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. Sidearms are finally starting to come up. Rapid fire fusions are now a lot better than they were before. I think it still takes a little bit of a skilled hand to use them. I haven't seen someone kill me with one where I was like, that was a not very good player that just melted me. Like, the people that I've seen using rapid fire fusions are good players, but they're using them very effectively, like effectively enough to be competitive with them, which I'm impressed with. There's a lot of variety right now. I mean, you've always got the same offenders up at the top. You got 140 hand cans and you got Fel Winters and Chaperone, and it is what it is. And we'll talk about those when we get to the numbers, 2 weeks from now or whenever it is that we decide to do it. But before we go into the stuff that I think we do like, so that's PvP stuff that we don't like. Obviously there's other PvP stuff, like the fact that our survival playlist is still kind of shit. Like, that bothers me, right? But they've already told us, like, hey, we're working on PvP. So I don't really feel that there's a ton to be gained by saying, like, Iron Banner rewards need a rework and the ranked playlist needs a rework. We know that.
Yeah.
Bungie knows that. Everybody knows that. So flipping over to the PvE side, how are you feeling about the new seasonal activity? How are you feeling about the new... So there's like an expunged version, which is, I guess... So they started kind of doing like two seasonal activities.
Yeah.
Like a repetitive one and then like a cap for each week that's like kind of a little bit different. And there's obviously the new seasonal path and there's the new seasonal currency and everything. How are you feeling about that?
So I love the fact that they have decided that we get two seasonal activities now, that we get sort of like these, you know, the replayable six player match made grindy ones. And then we also get these sort of like strike ish ones that you can go and you can solo, you can do with the fire team, however you want to do it. I really enjoy soloing them, and I love that is now the thing. I know some people are maybe not huge fans for some reason. I don't know why. I have not been grinding it. Like I said, I played a good amount of PvE right when it first came out, and then I jumped into the Crucible, and then it was Iron Banner. So I haven't really jumped back in since the first few days, but I thought it was fun. You know, the replayable activity, I didn't feel like it stood out a ton from other ones. I don't think it was phenomenal, but it was fine. It was fun, and it had some twists, and it gives you, I felt like it gave me a series of objectives to complete, which was, you know, kind of kept the pace moving. I didn't feel like I was just sitting still and just shooting things the whole time. So there was that. And then the Shattered Realm, was that what it's called? I don't have it in front of me right now.
I think it's the Shattered Realm.
The Shattered Realm was awesome. Like, I've already been, you know, jumping into little places, trying to find chests and things, like, and trying to find shortcuts. I'm loving it. So
yeah, I feel a lot the same way. I think the Shattered Realm is fantastic. I love that there's more depth than just what you see the first time you run through it, and that you are encouraged to run through it multiple times and discover secrets in it each time that you do.
Yeah,
I really like that. I like that they're different places. It's not just the shattered version of the Dreaming City. It's the shattered version of the EDZ, the shattered version of the Tangled Shore. I really like that. I think the enemy variety in there is fun. I think the mechanics are pretty enjoyable. I myself have enjoyed soloing them as well. Really like that. The repeatable activity that's like their version of Override, I like it more than Override. I think that it's helped by the fact that Dreaming City is really beautiful, and I very much enjoy being in the Dreaming City a little bit more than I enjoyed Europa's arenas or some of the other arenas that were there. I kind of like the boss battles. I think the final boss battles are pretty fun and pretty clever. The first one was an ogre that you had to kill some targets to make it not be invincible. The second most recent one was like a version of the marksman from the original Tangled Shore, where it like built duplicates and spread duplicates all over the place. And I thought that was really clever. I really like the mechanic where you have the weighted batteries and the batteries are too heavy, so you're very slow and people have to team up to carry one, because you'll get exhausted before you can get it back in the second. I actually really like that. I think it's kind of fun. Now, granted, you know, I'm doing three a week or five a week or something like that, because to me, and maybe I'm incorrect here, but I'm not seeing a huge reason to grind them out. Like, you do them for the challenges and to unlock the next step, and then you go and do the Shattered Realm, and then you repeat the Shattered Realm as many times as you need. But I'm getting way more of the seasonal currency from just doing other activities.
Yeah.
One place I am having an issue right now is Bungie's never-ending love of capping currencies and capping things is rearing its ugly head. And I know people were very unhappy about the cap on the universal ornaments, which, you know, I think was a bit of an overreaction, but I understand it. And now we've got a cap on the seasonal currency, which is really, really low. Like, I'm like hitting that cap, you know, in maybe an hour of playtime max, and I'm at the cap. And then the problem is that when you're at the cap, anything you do above that is wasted. So you have to go back to one of the other activities, and like you aren't able to get these like long sessions in where you like play one activity a bunch, save up a ton, and then go and play the other activity and like use it all, or try to update all of your Umbral Engrams, which also, by the way, I was really happy that there were unlimited of the tier 3 Umbral Engrams, and I was like, oh, that's a really nice quality of life change. Like, I was like stoked about grinding out the fusion rifle. And then they came in and they were like, oh, just kidding, you get 4. And they capped it. I was like, what? Because I was like, that sucks, man. Like, that's just, oh, man. It seems like it's pretty unnecessary. I know they don't want people to blow through and, like, unlock everything in the first week. But 4 is really low considering it's one of two guns. And then there's a ton of perks. And, like, yeah, that was just a little bit of a bummer. That took my, that killed my vibe.
Yeah, that was definitely a bummer. To be honest, I'm probably capped on the currency and I just haven't bothered to go back.
Like, you definitely are.
For sure. Yeah. For sure I am. Yeah. I've literally done nothing this week but play Iron Banner. And I have done my job a little bit.
Job is unimportant.
Yeah.
What is the thing that's like, don't look at, it's like a bunch of anime girls. It's like, don't look at the tits, focus on Iron Banner. That's like the anime girls tits are your job. And Iron Banner is what you need to be focused on. Don't let other things distract you.
I've been wholly focused, as I should be, on Iron Banner. I guess for me, it has not been a big deal yet. But talk to me next week and see how I feel then. And it may be different.
Well, it's just, I understand what they're trying to do is I think they put the cap so low and you earn so much so quickly that they wanted you to go run 3 strikes or run 3 crucible matches and then go into that activity and run that activity or go decode a couple engrams. Like, I think they wanted you to bounce back and forth between these activities so that you wouldn't like get bored, right? Like, you wouldn't spend 5 hours grinding out strikes and then just be like bored out of your mind. But I think where they may have misjudged is that people like doing that. Like, people like spending 5 hours in strikes. They like spending 5 hours in Iron Banner. And it doesn't feel good to have to leave every 3 activities or 4 activities and go burn a bunch of a currency just so you can go back to playing what you were already playing to gather more of the currency, right? Like, that's kind of a bummer.
Yeah, yeah. I am definitely, you know, probably going to regret some choices that I made to not go back and do that at some point. But then again, am I? Maybe I'm not. Maybe I'm fine with it.
You can only do 4 a week anyway. So
yeah,
I've been burning all 4 this week on the friggin' fusion rifle trying to get that. But yeah, so PvP, PvE, things seem to be in a pretty good spot. Obviously, yeah. You know, talk to us in a week when Trials comes out. And we'll see how that goes. But from the rumblings I'm hearing, and also from my own personal feelings, like, my girlfriend is going, or my girlfriend, fiance now, she'll kill me if she hears me say that, but she's going up to Fashion Week in New York, like, next weekend. And so I have, for the first time in seemingly forever, I had a wedding last weekend. I have a wedding this weekend, right? I have a wedding 2 weekends from now, but this weekend I don't have anything. And I am going to play the shit out of Trials now that it has matchmaking. And I am like real excited about that.
Man, you are in full wedding season over there. That is,
dude.
That is
and
a
then
lot
I have my
people.
Wedding in February that I have to look forward to. So it's like, yeah, my fiance has been to 3 bachelorette parties in 6 weeks and 2 weddings.
It's
I don't know what's going on.
That's
apparently it's that time of life where everybody is just like, let's get married.
It's a lot of alcohol.
Including myself. Yes. You should see the pictures of us from Park City this last weekend. It was something special. But turns out the high altitude really helps you get drunk.
Oh,
discussion
man.
For Spicy Brewers channel.
Indeed. But, indeed.
Yeah. So anything else you want to add, good, bad, ugly, to our summary of the season so far? I mean, we're only 2 weeks in. The narrative is freaking killing it, man. Savathun, like standing under that statue and listening to her talk and listening to Mara talk and listening to Crow talk and listening to Saladin talk and listening to Saint 14 talk. Like, I love all of it, man. I'm freaking jazzed about that story.
Yeah, it's a little overshadowed for me by the Witch Queen announcement.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie.
It does hurt a bit.
It is. I mean, it's not like I didn't, you know, I would assume that she's going to betray us anyway.
We all knew Osiris was the bad guy, like week two of the previous season. It wasn't like any of us were going to be like, oh my God, Savathun's lying. Like,
yeah,
they've been telling us for 6 years that she's a liar.
Yeah.
We kind of had a feeling that this is going to happen.
So, you know, I understand why they did it, but I could have at least walked in and pretended to be surprised. And now I'm just like, well, I guess we know how this is going to end, but it's the journey that counts. And the journey is pretty excellent. So I'm here for the ride. But yeah, I don't know. One of the things that I'm liking right now is I do feel like the meta has shaken up a bit in terms of, and it's often this way at the beginning of a season before things start to collapse down, but they've done a good job recently of shaking things up in such a way that it takes a little longer to settle out than it has at some points in Destiny's history. So there's room for a lot of weapons to be successful. And I have really enjoyed flexing into that room and just like spreading my wings and flying around with all kinds of random stuff. I was having a fantastic time with Mida, multi-tool and mini-tool, just sprinting around the map at maximum speed, picking people off from stupid distances. It was great. It was super effective. My game did not suffer for using a scout rifle. And this may be the first time that I have said that about PvP since the Mida meta, actually. And really, in that case, my game sort of did suffer because everyone was using scout rifles. But now,
everyone's game suffered at that point.
Yeah.
Scout rifle meta, not fun.
Yeah. But now scout rifles are at a point where there are some of them that are what I would say they are playable. Does Mida punish you if you don't land all your headshots? Oh, hell yeah. You just won't get the kill. You'll flat out lose or they'll get away if you don't land your headshots. But if you do, it feels pretty good. And rapid fire scouts feeling quite strong. Symmetry was feeling great once I got back into the groove of it. And there's some good options. There's a new rapid fire scout, I believe, that was kicking my butt.
Yeah.
So,
well, we can use that as a nice little transition into what we're going to talk about for the rest of the episode, which we're not going to spend a ton of time on. We're going to do a full breakdowns. But we're just going to tell you about what we're targeting, weapons-wise, what we're targeting perks-wise. So starting with the hand cannons, three new hand cannons, two 140s and a 180. I'm not a huge hand cannon user in PvP, like them in PvE, especially now after the buff. So I'm not super thrilled on Judgment or Annual Skate, although I know that people who like 140s are pretty stoked about those. What I'm actually most interested in is Vulpecula, which... Do we have like a vocab lesson on what that word means? Because I have, to me, that sounds like a weird version of Dracula. And I have no idea what it actually is, but.
I'm gonna save that for when we actually do a full breakdown.
Okay.
We'll leave it. But we'll leave it. It does mean something.
Yeah, it's a 180, which is not the strongest archetype. In fact, it's probably the weakest archetype of fan cannon. But it's got some really, really good perks. It's got some new perks on it. It's got Harmony, Opening Shot, Explosive Rounds. It's got a couple of the new ones. Headstone, which is like, it's a stasis gun. I guess I should have led with that.
Yeah.
It's got Headstone, which is freaking hilarious in PvE and in PvP, where if you get a precision final blow, there's like one little stasis crystal spawns right where they are. Like, that cracks me up. I have very much been enjoying running around with this gun and like patrol and public events and stuff and using it.
I think that that is sort of low-key a really incredible perk for PvE. Being able to create extra crystals, because there are so many fragments that play off of those crystals in terms of giving you damage resistance, giving you energy back. I mean, there's a lot you can do with it. And so I think that is not necessarily, I don't know if this is the strongest example of it, but if we continue to see that perk, I think it's got a ton of potential in PvE, and it is pretty funny in PvP. I will say, I've mostly been the victim of that. I've not actually been, I did try to use it, but I just don't have a good role. And, so it was not a great deal of fun for me to use, but it is pretty hilarious. Annual Skate, I did get to use. I got a very stable roll on that, and it felt good. I mean, it's what do you want me to say? It's a hand cannon. It's a 140 hand cannon, and it feels good everywhere that you shoot it. You know?
Yeah.
Judgment, obviously don't have that yet, but I actually still have Judgment in my vault from the original Trials of the Nine, so I feel like I need to like get a new one so I can compare them. But
yeah, I was most excited about some of these new perks that are coming on them. Ensemble is pretty nice, just improved handling, reload speed when allies are near. It's not a perk that I'm going to go for, but I'm never going to be unhappy to have it because it just improves the way my gun feels. Encore, I was like kind of excited about, and then I ended up just wishing that precision final blow, or that all final blows just gave me accuracy and stability, right? Like,
yeah,
the range bonus ended up being very minute, and I don't like that in order for me to use the part of the perk that I want, I have to not get precision final blows. Like, I really wish that it was just like any final blow grants you accuracy and stability, and precision final blows also grant a small range bonus. Like, I think it would be a top tier perk if it was that, but in its current state, I was pretty disappointed with it.
Yeah. I definitely took some weapons out with Encore expecting to be impressed. And to be honest, I could not tell when I was getting anything out of it. And that for me was basically a bad sign. That it just was not doing enough. Yeah. The other problem with it is there's a little bit of a fail state, right? It feels like you have to decide to do like the wrong thing to get the better buff. And that, I don't know, maybe this is a perk that's good for newer players, or people who have trouble hitting headshots, which there are people. A lot of people have trouble hitting headshots.
How many times do we have to say it? How many times do we have to teach you this lesson, old man? We don't like perks that activate on fail states. Come on. Like, they're not fun. They're not fun. If it's a passive that's part of another perk, you know, fine, right? But not, oh man, yeah, just as the target of the perk, it's not fun. Because you actively avoid doing it the entire time. And so that means you feel like you actively avoid using your perk.
Yeah. The accuracy and stability is clearly the better benefit, but it's just weird. It's a weird perk in the way that it seems to have come out. I'm still withholding judgment. I need to probably spend some more time with it, but so far not impressed.
Other couple of perks. Adagio? Is that how it's pronounced? Adagio?
That's correct, yep.
So basically it works differently on different guns, but what it seems like it does is it seems like it shifts the archetype to the next one down rate of fire wise, at least from the guns that I've used it on, like hand cans and stuff. It seems like it shifts it down to the next lowest rate of fire archetypes. Like a 180 hand cannon would go to a 140 hand cannon. That's at least what it does. I don't have one, or I haven't used one yet on a high impact fusion rifle, which is like actually what I'm interested to see it on. Because I kind of want to see, like, does it just give you crazy damage? I think it's because, I mean, what is the next archetype up of a high impact fusion? So does it function like, you know, what's the damage bonus? I know that, you know, Pippin is testing it and stuff like that. I don't think he's come up with solid numbers just yet, but so I'm interested to try it on that. What are some other couple of ones? I mean, Harmony, I really like. I think Harmony is super, super neat. Get a kill on another gun, activate Harmony, and you get a 20% damage buff for a few seconds. And it's not too bad. I think it's like 7 seconds. Like, it's a pretty good bit. Like, that's better than Rampage. Not quite as good as Kill Clip, but I really like Harmony.
Yeah. You know, I have to say I've been collecting some weapons with Harmony. Because of Iron Banner, I have not been spending time with them yet, but I am looking forward to doing some experimentation in the coming weeks. It's definitely appealing. There are a lot of situations where you can sort of play into that effect. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. But I've got high hopes.
Oh, all right. What about pulse rifles? I actually think the pulse rifles we got this season are top notch. I'm actually interested in all three of them. Legal action is a high impact. Basically, if you feel like you're incapable of getting the messenger, and you really want a kinetic high impact pulse rifle, legal action is there for you. Incredibly easy to get, statistically worse than the messenger, perk wise worse than the messenger, but still feels pretty good. I actually quite like it. I got myself a roll with one and I've been using it. The zoom's a bit high. Zoom's a bit much, 22 zoom. Not a huge fan of that. And then Forge's Pledge, the Iron Banner solar pulse rifle. It's an adaptive. Adaptives are in a bit of a weak place right now. I feel like adaptives and lightweights are a little bit of the forgotten children of the pulse rifle family. Adaptives haven't really been strong since Bygones. And the problem is that other pulse rifles seem to have kind of surpassed them. Like, for example, I had a great Forge's Pledge roll. I used it a bunch. I like it. Adaptives feel good. They've always felt good. They do very, very well with a damage buff that allows them to two burst very quickly. But compared to the messenger, compared to Grid Skipper, compared to now Darkest Before, the rapid fires, I really don't feel like they have a tremendously great place in the meta outside of maybe the hands of someone who's just not, doesn't have great accuracy and wants to use kind of an easy pulse rifle.
Yeah. So I would say, I guess the thing that they do have going for them is that among pulse rifles, they do feel very easy to use. And that has always been the case for the majority of the adaptive pulse rifles, is that they feel easy to use. So Forge's Pledge, you know, I think we're all getting a lot of drops of that right now. Certainly something where I'm looking to try and find the best at the end of Iron Banner and stick that in the vault. Just to rub salt in the wound for everyone who's concerned about their vault space that I criticized earlier. But yeah, you know, I'm excited to see three new pulse rifles as well. Darkest Before actually is a pulse rifle that the previous incarnation of which I was a huge fan of. I'm not a tremendous fan of the rapid fires. I feel like they are overshadowed right now by some other weapons, but they're very easy to use. There are a number of choices, so it's very easy to have one with a good roll. And they aren't terrible by any means. I'm not saying that they're bad. I just think that there are a few weapons that are stronger. High impact pulses actually, for my money, right now might be stronger in the right hands or with the right builds. I have to say, I tried a lot of weapons with my Arc Buddy Stormcaller build, and none of them compared to high impact pulse rifles in terms of just consistent, fast kills. And I did move off of I did move off of the exotic. I decided to go with Stars and Shadow, but now we've got Legal Action to grind for, so I've got more options, which can maybe allow me to change things up. So
I feel like Rapid Fires are a lot more role dependent. You can pretty much work with most high impacts. Like even just an average high impact roll is going to be fair enough. Rapid Fires, if you have a bad roll, it's going to be a bit of a struggle. They're hard to control, particularly on controller. But and Darkest Before honestly doesn't have like the best perk pool ever. It's just kind of okay out there. But one thing I found is that Elemental Capacitor on Stasis is really fantastic on Pulse Rifles. Really, really, really fantastic on Pulse Rifles. But God, man, Darkest Before just looks so cool. I freaking love the Trials of the Nine, now Prophecy style weapons. They look so, so cool. I am definitely going to want a Darkest Before to add to my collection. Because I mean, you can't tell me that gun just doesn't look slick.
Honest to goodness, that's part of the reason that it was one of my favorites is because it's just a pretty gun. That said, I do have to give some credit to the Time Worn Spire, which is an old standby in Iron Banner. I am seeing the Iron Banner perks a lot on a lot of guns right now. And I finally got a Time Worn Spire that I liked with Iron Gaze of all perks. That's minus 27 range, plus 16 aim assist. The aim assist is literally maxed out. The range is terrible, but it does have a long zoom scope. And
there you go.
I tell you what, it's friggin' ridiculous.
Long zoom scopes help a lot on the rapid fires. Not a ton of guns. We talked to Chris about this, didn't we?
Yeah.
Not a ton of guns that have scopes on them anymore, but if you can get them, man.
Yeah. Long zoom scope and 100 aim assist really does a lot for you, as I found with Mida. So I've really been feeling that type of weapon right now. But let's jump on to the auto rifles. It's raining auto rifles, at least for me.
Yeah. One reprisal with Scathelock coming back. A lot of adaptives too. They brought us back three adaptives,
which is unfortunate.
And high impact. Yeah. Sorrow's Verse, which, man, it's just the Galliard, but arc. And without the good scopes that I love so much about the Galliard.
I have tried so many Sorrow's Verse rolls, and I hate all of them.
Yeah, I'm collecting good ones and just sticking them straight into the vault.
Yeah.
Because at 16 zoom and a 600 RPM auto rifle and as many perks as there are, like, you know, I want to love it, but the 600 RPM auto rifles had their day.
They did.
They're not really the strongest right now. You've still got a couple of holdouts using Gnawing Hunger. But, you know, you've got Sorrow's Verse, The Last Breath, Scathelock. It's like, great, you gave me three of an archetype that I'm not particularly thrilled about. However, that being said, Chrysura Mellow, I'm 100% I said that incorrectly. The high impacts, it's like, man, if only Vex Mythoclast wasn't the best high impact on Earth. It's got some pretty nice options to it.
It has a lot of fun perks. I do, before we jump fully into it, I just want to mention Scathelock. They brought it back with 2.0 zoom, which makes it actually worth chasing and also somehow the only one I can't get to drop. As these things happen, but Scathelock has because it's got that 2.0 zoom, I really took a second look at it. It's got some fantastic perk combinations. The pools are not enormous. So, like, when it comes to 600 RPM auto rifles that I'd like to put in my vault right now, that is the one. Man, that gun looks appealing.
You know, it's a good thing that you said that because I would have completely overlooked it as a 600 RPM auto. It's kinetic, which is great.
Yes.
It's got the baby making perks, heating up and rampage, and also multi-kill clip and tunnel vision.
Yeah.
Those are two fantastic.
Eye of the storm
under pressure.
Yeah.
There's really some great synergy there between perks.
There's a lot to like about Scathelock right now.
Well, look at that. You proved me wrong. I was ready to bypass them 100%. And now I'm like, oh, I can take a Scathelock.
Yeah. Now, since our conversation, I have been trying to make a point to check the zoom on guns that are coming back because there are a few gems in there with a little bit extra I'm feeling like this meta is going to call for just a little bit extra zoom. And I think it's Shiura's Wrath has kind of started that trend. And now we're going to find those standouts when they have just an extra point or two of zoom, just making them feel a little bit better.
So for comparison's sake, the Last Breath only has 1.6 times zoom. Does the damage fall off actually? There's no way it starts at 15 meters. It's got to start farther out than that, right?
I mean, not having tested it, it's hard for me to say.
Is that hip you know fire? What? I think that's reading it in wrong. Yeah. So I thought that it was saying the damage fall off started here and ended here, but I think it's hip fire and then,
yes,
you know, where it is. Okay. So, yeah. So then the difference, so the Scathelock, the damage fall off just by base starts at 30 meters when it's ADS. And then for the Last Breath, it starts at 24, basically.
That's a lot of meters. That's a
substantial difference. Yeah. That's a substantial difference. That's how important range is on this. Not to mention, it makes the gun more stable, easier to control.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Pushes the aim assist out.
Everything good happens with those extra points of zoom, as long as it's not more zoom than is comfortable to use. And believe me, I think on an auto rifle like this right now, that is not too much zoom.
What's hilarious is that the damage fall off is actually better than the Chrysera Mellow, which is a high impact. With way more range, because the Mellow has 1.6 times zoom instead of 2.0.
Yeah, I was very sad to see that its zoom was only 1.6. Those high impacts really need more zoom than that. Just my personal opinion. But that said, the Mellow's cool. It's a cool weapon with some cool perks.
That's probably one of the only things that's keeping Vex Mythoclast a little bit more in check, is that the zoom's only like 1.5.
Yeah.
So it actually doesn't have tremendously great range for an auto rifle. But unfortunately, that also makes it, you know, that much worse when when you're in linear fusion mode.
Indeed. But yeah, there really are some great perks on the Mellow. And I think it's going to be a pretty decent choice for a PvE auto rifle. It's got just like all kinds of new stuff, Encore, Ensemble. Heating up, which I always love to see now. Harmony, Frenzy, all these new perks are on there. Plus old favorites like Dragonfly, Thresh. Thresh, it now qualifies as an old favorite in my head, apparently. there are a lot of great choices. Dynamic sway reduction. Sadly, even with dynamic sway reduction, at the ranges that you want to use it at, the recoil is noticeable.
Yeah,
it's just not enough. Maybe if you can get like polygonal rifling and steady rounds and dynamic sway reduction, maybe then, I don't know. But I just don't see it working in PvP.
Yeah. Moving on to the scout rifles, we got two rapid fires giving us gifts. They know that I love the rapid fires. They know that everybody loves the rapid fires. We got Contingency Plan, which is an old dead orbit Viced. Thing really only excited about one role here. Give me the tunnel vision kill clip. That is what I want. I want tunnel vision kill clip on Contingency Plan. I'm going for that. But perhaps even more exciting is Servant Leader Gambit. Getting me excited to play Gambit. This is like a baby Randy's throwing knife. Not only does it look fucking awesome, one of the coolest looking guns that I think they've put in the game, and I would use it just for that because of how cool it looks. But the perk combinations that it's got, it's one of those things that's got 12 perks per column, which really sucks, right? But there's some good perks in there, so it shouldn't be too tremendously hard. The only thing that blows, 26 zoom, 2.6 times zoom.
That's a lot of zoom.
That's basically a sniper rifle. Like that's a lot of zoom, man. I usually start to get uncomfortable with like 2.1, 2.2, 2.6.
Yeah.
Woo.
That's what I felt when I was running around with scout rifles in Iron Banner. This thing was outranging me. Like,
oh yeah, there's basically no map in the game.
I was trying to play.
It has a sight line that's too long for it.
These crazy sight lines and trying to outrange people, and some some guardians out there running around with a servant leader, and they're just like, range, I'll show you range. Boy, I had to change what I was doing real quick. This is one that I'm interested in as well, solely because I got killed by it so many times in that one match. But it's got a lot of options. I think it's going to be difficult to get a role that I really love, but I don't think it's going to be too hard to get something that I'm happy with.
And yeah, I'd agree with that. I mean, there's a ton of decent perks in it. And like the role that everybody, of course, really wants is the Randy's throwing knife role of rapid hit kill clip. Good luck with that. That's going to be winning the lottery. But, you know, just to find some perks that are all right. Yeah, it shouldn't be too hard. And plus, I mean, come on now. Look at this gun. Look at it. Tell me it wouldn't look perfect paired with my Guardian rocking the Monarch right now.
It's very pretty. It's very pretty.
And it's kinetic too. Thank God it's kinetic. Thank God some of these good weapons are kinetic. That's really what I needed here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because we still don't have a kinetic fusion rifle that I can use that's not Bastion.
Hey, I'm still complaining about no kinetic aggressive burst sidearms.
That is true. Those are your babies.
They truly are.
Did we not get a single new SMG this season?
We did not, but I just want to say they feel great anyway. This is the first time I've taken the Mita Mini tool out of my vault in a very long time, and it was glorious. The nerfs to shotguns, and you know, maybe the nerf to sliding as well, has just made it so much easier to mow people down with sidearms and submachine guns. So I'm enjoying the short range gameplay a lot right now. We did get 4 new sidearms though. So we're covering almost every archetype here. Sadly missing the 2 that I like the most, but we got a precision, a swift verdict from the Prophecy Dungeon. We got a lightweight, spoiler alert, just as a world drop. We got a adaptive, and this is the 3 burst adaptive, not the Drang style adaptive. Peace Bond coming from the Iron Banner. And we got a Soros Rapid Fire punching out, which comes from Strikes. I've been able to play with the last 2 quite a bit, and I can safely say that they're both pretty good, but I still don't like Soros Rapid Fires, and no one's going to convince me otherwise.
I don't know what it was, but someone was running around in Iron Banner the other day, absolutely freaking destroying me with the Soros Rapid Fire, and they were not going for headshots at all, but they were chaining kills like no one's business. So part of me wonders if they were using like Encore Kill Clip or like maybe Harmony and swapping to it after another thing, or maybe Swashbuckler. But I don't know what they were doing, but they were just running around and like spamming body shots into people and just absolutely, because the body shot TTK for Soros Rapidfire was like 0.93.
It's fast.
So I don't know what they were doing, but they were very, very effective with it. And that made me want to get it. But then the Peace Bond, man, the Peace Bond is like a little baby Crimson. I am really, really enjoying Peace Bond so far. Like actually a lot more than I thought I would, which it doesn't entirely surprise me because my favorite sidearms have always been like the Last Dance, right? Like the Omalon adaptives. And these are the same archetype. They just aren't the Omalon style.
Yeah.
Right. And I really, really like Peace Bond. You can max the stability pretty easily. And then it's got some pretty great perks in it too. This is a perfect gun to have Harmony on. I'm not even kidding at all. Like this is a perfect gun to have Harmony. If you have a good energy primary, specifically like a longer range one, like, you know, even the Iron Banner pulse rifle, maybe if you get Harmony on this, you can get kills with that other one, swap to this and have 7 seconds of a 20% damage buff, which also, by the way, you can stack with things like Charge for Light and stuff like that. And you can just absolutely mow people down. If you manage to get the two burst is in like half a second. It's like the last word, like old school, the last word style TTKs.
I think the true beauty of Harmony is going to come when we start seeing loadouts where both weapons have Harmony and you're just swapping between two 20% buffed primaries the entire match.
That sounds awesome.
It's going to be a terror to behold.
What if you had two of the same type of gun?
Yeah.
One in energy and one in kinetic.
It's like you're dual wielding
Harmony. Yeah. And you just swap from one to the other. And then it's like you're using the same gun, but you just have a 20% damage buff on it.
Yeah. Yeah. See,
I think that'd be.
That would be when I would want a rapid fire scout with Harmony. If I had two rapid fire scouts, one in each slot that both had Harmony. Or rapid fire pulse rifles, excuse me, because you can play the short to mid very easily. Really easy to control your distances. You could just go nuts, killing people ridiculously fast. Anyway, Peace Bond, very good. I have one with 99 stability and Killing Wind, and it is a joy. It is an absolute joy. So,
and if I could get like a max stability with rangefinder,
I know,
and I don't know, like swashbuckler,
I wish it was rangefinder because I have snapshot sights.
I would be over the moon. Yeah. But tunnel vision is pretty good too. You know, obviously we're not breaking it down. I really like Peace Bond. If you guys were on the fence, like definitely go grind Iron Banner. Like Peace Bond is worth it. And honestly, the pulse rifle isn't bad. If adaptives ever get a buff, it will be pretty good. So,
yep. The other two, I mean, lightweights are just absolutely overmatched by the other sidearms right now. And for my money, there are people who like them. And
I care nothing for these other sidearms. Beyond with you.
I don't want to rain on their parades, but I mean, they just, in terms of range and stability, spoiler alert, has a tall hill to climb to get up in terms of effectiveness. So
sidearms have archetype bloat. You could dump the precisions, and I don't think anyone would even notice.
Yeah,
they were gone,
which is too bad. I used to love Vestian Dynasty once upon a time.
That's all I'm gonna say about that. Bows, actually, I was looking at the numbers. Scarily enough, Le Monarch is coming up, creeping up in usage numbers. It's like in the mid 30s now, when usually it hovers around the high 40s to the like low 50s. So that's scaring me a little bit. But they did add a new precision bow, Wolf Tone Draw. I'm just really hard pressed to use like legendary bows, especially after using Le Monarch. It's got some neat stuff to it, right? Like it has cornered, which is pretty funny. You can like draw faster when people are close to you. That's much better for PvE than for PvP. It's got Adagio, which I don't think gives it enough damage to one tap, but you know, I have one sitting on my character with Adagio. I just haven't used it yet, but I'm gonna give it a shot in Iron Banner or in normal control later just to see what it does. But I would be very surprised if it allows you to one tap. If it lets you one tap, that would be like, that'd probably be a problem. But
that would be a bad thing for the Crucible, I think. I have to say, I still enjoy the Le Monarch loadout, but I've been exploring a lot of other options because I love this time at the beginning of the season when people are figuring things out. And so we'll see what shakes out. The Monarch is very strong.
I think we're gonna have to run through like the rest of these things pretty quick. We spent a ton of time and we still have a second podcast to get to.
We do. Well, there's,
you want to just bounce through a couple of them?
There's not a whole ton, I think, to add. You know, we've got some sniper rifles being reprised. We've got, we've got some shotguns. There's nothing in there that particularly jumps out to me personally, except that there is a stasis precision, not slug, but just precision shotgun. So that's cool.
Right.
And I'm excited to play with stasis perks, but ultimately these are all still like, I don't know. I didn't see anything game changing about them.
Yeah. The only thing that I'm like really excited about, special weapon wise, is the Iota Draconis, which is the new high impact fusion. I've been testing out a lot of roles and I have in my opinion, determined that for high impacts, liquid coils, high impact reserves is the way to go. It nets you the most consistent three bolt, gets you the most range, pairing that with stability, something like under pressure. So I am determined, bound and determined. It's like, I can't get a Glacio Chasm with this roll, which sucks because I really want one, but I'm not going to have an opportunity until December at the earliest. So I'm like bound and determined to get a good roll on this Iota Draconis, just in case Trials isn't kind to me and I don't get a good roll on the Exiles Curse anyways. I so badly want Chambered Compensator, Liquid Coils, Under Pressure, High Impact Reserves. I have one right now that's Liquid Coils, High Impact Reserves, but I have Lead from Gold in that first perk slot. And ouch. That's a bummer. And that's the closest I've gotten. And now we're capped at 4 weeks. So the chances of me getting one, I feel it slipping through my fingers, but I'm going for it. That's my main focus this year or this season.
Yeah. Iota Draconis, it felt pretty good. It was nice to see another high impact fusion rifle out there for people to farm. Other than that, no new breach grenade launchers. So that's probably for the best. Heavy weapons, I mean, you know, there's a stasis linear fusion rifle, if that's your thing. There's a new heavy grenade launcher. There are some rocket launchers. There are some swords. But the only new heavy that is stasis is a linear fusion. So they really are just trying to make that happen, I think. The other ones, I think, have some things going for them, but I don't know if they're worth spending a ton of time on for me. They don't really affect the game that much for me.
You know, the Ascendancy, the Crucible rocket launcher, is not too bad at all. It's got a really neat perk on it called Explosive Light, I think, where if you pick up an orb of power, it increases the next projectile's blast radius and damage.
Oh, I think I have one with that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And obviously it's got chain reaction, it's got impulse amplifier. Like it's kind of angling, I feel like, with impact casing for an ambitious assassin. I feel like it's kind of angling for a PvE rocket launcher because it's nowhere close to max blast radius.
Yeah.
You know, which is really what you need in PvP. But I still took it out PvP and had an okay time with it. You know, I don't think it's gonna replace my tracking chain reaction Tomorrow's Answer. But it looks pretty neat too. It's definitely a unique style.
Yeah. I mean, it looks cool. And it's something that when I need to shoot rockets at a boss that isn't going to dodge them, I will probably consider taking it out, but I have other tools for that as well. You know, I have a Code Duello with Lasting Impression and I'm not sure mm-hmm. this is going to top that. So I don't know. I've not been super into the heavy weapons by and large.
All right. Yeah. Now, for me, honestly, weirdly, like outside of the fusion rifle, for me, this is like the season of there are primary guns that I want.
Yeah.
Which normally it's not quite that. But really this season, it's like there are so many primaries that I want. And they way overshadow the specials and the heavies, which is great. I feel like that's perfect. I feel like that's where a lot of variety comes into the game. And I'm really, really happy with it. So I'm super excited to target farm all those guns or as many of them as I can. But we're creeping up on already it being midnight 30 here and we got to record another podcast. So you think we can call this one?
Yeah, I think we can probably call this one. You know, there's a ton of stuff out there to chase. I would encourage everyone to really look into, you know, what perks are on guns, because there's a lot of combinations out there that you might have missed. We'll be talking about some of those as the season continues. This will be a long season. We'll have a lot of breakdowns. And make sure that you check the zoom value, because you never know.
Even I still get fooled sometimes. One of these days, I'm going to add another column into the spreadsheet and put zooms in there, but we'll see how it goes. All right, guys. Thank you very much for tuning in, and we'll see you next week. Bye.
Peace.